Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja, and today we have a good one. So today we're going to recap games 3 and 4 of the NBA Finals. And also, I just want to throw out there, I did record a podcast, okay? I recorded a NBA Finals preview. I actually recorded it again with Clutch Talk because we're doing partnerships throughout the playoffs. So I did record that podcast where we go over what to expect for the NBA Finals. We talk about matchups, all that good stuff. But unfortunately, I had technical difficulties on my end. So if you want to listen to the NBA Finals preview, I already know that we're going into Game 5, but if you do want to listen to that NBA Finals preview, just head over to Clutch Talk, and you'll be able to hear everything that we talk about. Now, in this episode, I am collaborating with Jay Hill. He is also from Clutch Talk. You guys have heard him before. I've worked with Jay Hill numerous times, along with John and them over at Clutch Talk. So it's a really good podcast. Me and Jay Hill, we talk about games 3 and 4. We talk about the matchups that we've seen so far, some possible solutions, some possible schemes that could help either team. So we just basically recap everything that's happened so far in the NBA Finals. As you do know, the Warriors and Celtics are tied 2-2, and Game 5 is coming up in 24 hours. So it's going to be a really good Game 5. So yeah, just give this episode a listen. Like I said, we go over Games 3 and 4. And then if you want to listen to my NBA Finals preview, like I said, head over to Clutch Talk and you'll find our episode on there. And also just a huge shout out to Clutch Talk again. Thank you, Jay Hill, for letting me hop on your podcast today. And thank you for hopping onto mine. And yeah, just for all my listeners out there, you can listen to Clutch Talk. They are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. They're on YouTube. On YouTube, you can find a whole lot of content like interviews with former professional players. And then they also talk about the games and stuff going on in the playoffs. They have a bunch of good content. So yeah, like I said, they're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any platform that you listen to, they are on it. So yeah, again, I just wanted to say thank you so much to Jay Hill, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Have a good one.
Who dat? We dat? We back. Another episode of Clutch Talk, man. And we're recording right after the day after the Warriors' victory, 107-97 victory over the Celtics in Game 4. 43 points performance from Steph, but I had to bring on, unfortunately, John couldn't be here today. He's sick. He's not feeling well. Get better, Jay. But we had to bring on a great guest, our guy, Shaba, over there from Big Shot Pod. What up, Shaba? How you doing, man?
Hey, Jay Hill. I'm glad to be here. Hopefully I can live up to John's expectations. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. It's been a really good series, especially the last game. So I'm really excited to talk about it.
No, absolutely. And it's great to have you on as usual. But yeah, let's get it right into it. Let's start out with Game 4 and kind of what we saw. I mean, as we knew in this series, as we had you on to predict this series and talk about it, our predictions and kind of debate what we thought was going to happen. And it's come what we predicted was going to be a back and forth series. All three of us picked the series to go 7. You and I both had the Warriors. John had the Celtics in 7, but I think it could go either way. We've seen both teams. We saw them, the Celtics, throw their punch. Looked like the Warriors had that game in control after the third quarter in Game 1. Celtics were able to pull it out on some hot shooting in Game 1. And then Game 2, Warriors, they had that run in the third quarter, but they were able to sustain it and get up to such a huge lead in Game 2 there that they were able to control and take care of Game 2. And then in Game 3, back in the TD Garden in Boston, man, That looked like the best Celtics version of the Celtics we've seen in this series. Ultimately, it looked like they changed their game plan to attack the rim. The Warriors really just looked lazy and lethargic in that game three, and looked like they really had no answers, which was kind of concerning, number one, as a Warrior fan. And as you see, just really, they don't have the athleticism to match up with the Celtics. And that's clear. And that's not going to change throughout this series. But in game four, man, we know who the difference was.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to talk about game four now. And I'll take my flowers. I knew this. You knew this as well. For the Warriors to pull this off, they needed the man to step up. They need the two-time MVP to put in historic performance, the best basketball of his career, in my opinion. You know, he's had good finals. He's had good numbers. 26. He's averaged 26 points per game. People tend to forget that, but I think he needs to make a statement, and the Warriors truly do, because we've seen the inconsistency. Some guys stepping up, Shaba, like Jordan Poole had a solid game two. Klay was non-existent game three, and then the 43-point outburst. Stephen Curry, in my opinion, has been two tiers above, clearly the best player in this series. And I think on his back, they have a chance to win this if someone up steps in and they're going back home. But Shaba, and I, a lot of talking for me. How did you feel about this game four?
Yeah, well, first of all, going into this game, if I was a Warriors fan, I was not feeling very confident. For some reason, the Celtics, they just haven't been a very favorable matchup. Mm-hmm. Draymond, he just has not been himself. Klay, he was just not really what you need from Klay. Jordan Poole just has been a ghost up until this last game. So yeah, it was basically all on Curry up until now. And, you know, Curry in the last game, he hurt his ankle. So that was even more worrying, concerning. But yeah, going into this game, Curry was on fire from the get-go. You know, he was confident. And, you know, I think that's something that he needed, because, you know, I'm sure he's hearing, you know, all the talks and stuff. You know, for some reason, I don't know why, but just before this series even started, everyone was, I think ESPN said that the Celtics had like an 86% chance to win the series, which I don't know how they get those numbers. And then they've been talking about Draymond, and people have been talking about Klay not stepping up, and Jordan Poole being a ghost. So, you know, confidence was probably at an all-time low so far here in this series. But Curry, he blocked all that out. He came out, like you said, 43 points. I believe he's the third oldest player to score 40 plus points in the finals. And yeah, I mean, the defense was great, but really it was just up to guys making shots. I mean, Steph obviously has 43 points. Klay, he had 18 points. Andrew Wiggins had 17 points along with 16 rebounds. Like I said, Jordan Poole, he finally stepped up. He had 14 points, especially here in the fourth quarter. The Celtics, Jason Tatum hasn't really been – the Celtics haven't really had a player that's been like, man, that's going to be the finals MVP. You know, it's kind of been between Tatum, Jaylen Brown. And, you know, Tatum last night, he had 23 points on 23 shots, which is really uncharacteristic of him, because he's been really efficient, especially really during the whole playoffs. But yeah, the Warriors, they outscored Boston 17-3 in the final 5 minutes. Tatum, he only had 3 points in the fourth quarter. So, you know, finally, it really just came down to the Warriors, you know, getting into a groove and finally getting everyone involved. It's been a fun series, even though it's been kind of blowout up until this last game. But I think this is where the series is finally going to start. You know, this game five, we're obviously going back to Golden State. Boston, at least during the playoffs, have been playing a lot better on the road. But now the Warriors have that confidence, and then they're going to be home. So hopefully their role players can step up. So, I think that this game five is going to be critical. We all know what the media says, the winner of game five goes on to win. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 80-something% of the time. I think game five is really going to be a really important game, obviously. And really, Steph is going to be Steph, but he needs, you know, Clay, he needs Andrew Wiggins, he needs Jordan Poole, he needs them to stay in that groove in order for mm-hmm. them to come out successful in game five.
Yeah.
But from the Celtics side, you know, we've seen it's really been a team performance for Boston. You know, everyone mm-hmm. steps up. No, there hasn't really been a player who's, like I said, been the definitive, you know, that's going to be the finals MVP if they do win. So looking at Boston, because Jaylen Brown, man, when he gets hot, he cannot miss. So looking at Boston as of right now, would you say that Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown has been kind of the key guy for them?
I would say Jaylen Brown has been
more
of the key guy, especially in their wins. You know, you look at what he's done, his attacking mentality. I look at the start of game three, his ability, his shot making, his aggressiveness, you know, that one possession or two possessions back to back that stick out to me was him attacking Draymond Green, and he's been attacking him. But the one in game three where he got by him, tried to lay it up with his left and then got blocked, or it might've been in transition, whatever it was, he got blocked by Draymond. Next possession, he comes, he has him again, and he blows back right by him to go into his left and is able to lay it in. So I look at his aggression and the way, and his shots, he's been knocking down open threes. He's been able to try to get to his spot most times. And then I look at Jason Tatum, especially at the end of game four. I mean, it was abysmal. His shot selection, trying to be a Mamba mentality when he's at his best, I truly think his playmaking, you know, they threw around, there's a stat going around that when he has seven assists or more, I believe they're undefeated. They've lost only one game. I think they're 7-0 when he has seven assists or more. So that's a huge stat. And I think maybe he just has to understand that, and I've said this before multiple times, when Jason Tatum's at his best, it's when he's making plays for others and not looking just strictly for his shot, because he has the size to do it, right? The point forward-esque type of player. You've seen the development of a guy like LeBron, of a guy like Luka, guys who can utilize their size, who can see over the defense and make those reads. And there's possession after possession where Boston had it rolling. They're in a little bit of a groove, and Jason Tatum, you know, he's a ball stopper, but he got in possession. Specifically that possession on Nemanja Bjelica, where he had him and he didn't take advantage of that matchup. You know, credit to Bjelica, he was staying in front of him, moving his feet, had his hands active. Even on Jaylen Brown, there was one possession in the second half where Bjelica forced him to make a turnover, didn't ultimately end up in a score, and it got blocked, I believe. But those kind of plays that Tatum, he actually ended up turning it over and threw it to Andrew Wiggins, I believe, forced the pass across court. But he's got to be more smart. He has to attack matchups when he has them. And in order for Boston to win this series, I think Jason Tatum's got to have one of those nights that Curry had in game four. He's got to have a huge night, because yes, Boston might have more weapons. They have a lot of versatility, especially from their wing. They're clearly outmatching the Warriors in the wing. They have to take advantage of that. And Jason Tatum's got to be the catalyst. But Shaba, let's talk about, I have to ask you about this. You know, you mentioned Draymond Green, his struggles. So I want to talk about a certain lineup for the Warriors that was effective last night. And that was the lineup of Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, Andrew Wiggins, and Kevon Looney. Their problem this whole series has been offense and struggling to score through a large majority of time, right? There'd be, you know, we saw in game one, they weren't able to score in that fourth quarter for extended time. Can't have that happen. But a lot of it to do was the lineup they had on the floor of those two, the two big men of Draymond and Kevon Looney. And Boston, to their credit, is just not letting Draymond get involved in the offense, right? They're playing the drop coverage specifically to negate the 4-on-3 opportunities that Draymond Green has in that short role where he's able to pick off, you know, find assists and find players right there. They're letting Steph beat him with the drop coverage. Like, do you think that's effective though? Like, you think they're going to stick? Cause no teams, you saw Dallas last series, as you know, well, didn't play the drop coverage, forced Steph to get the ball out of his hands and force other players to make plays or force him to get downhill. You think Boston makes an adjustment in game five? Cause they've gotten torched by Steph. He's beating them single-handedly right now. You think they're going to make an adjustment and force other guys to make plays?
Well, it would be in their best interest, but I kind of think Boston is probably going to stick with the game plan that they've had. They've kind of done that throughout. But a big key is Draymond. Draymond just hasn't been the same. And like you said, you pointed out that lineup of Curry, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole, Wiggins, and Looney. That's their best net rating lineup here in the finals. So I think that they need to roll that out more because what they need is shooters. Because like you said, it's been offense that's been kind of killing them. So they need, even though it hurts their defense and having a guy like Poole out there compared to Draymond, I think that they just need to roll out their best shooters because right now the Warriors are looking a little old. And when I say that, I'm obviously talking about Curry, Klay, and kind of their main core. But yeah, I think that they just need to roll out offensively that lineup. They need to roll that lineup offensively, especially down the stretch. Obviously, you know, it was very effective. And, you know, we're so deep into the series. I just don't think that Steve Kerr is going to play guys like Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga. I think Kerr already kind of figured out what lineups he wants, what players he wants out there, and he's just going to stick with it. And Boston has been relatively successful against this Warriors team. I mean, they're 2-2. But still, I mean, last night, I still wasn't very confident about the Warriors down the stretch. You know, I just didn't have a lot of confidence in them throughout the game. I just, for some reason, I kept feeling like Boston was going to come back, but they never did. But yeah, like I said, they just need to, fuel their offense somehow. Because their offense just has not been it. They're just missing shots. Klay Thompson, like I said, has been off. Draymond Green, which we said, you know, the first game, I think he barely took any shots. And then the second game, he like took 9 shots and he missed all of them or made just one. So yeah, but then that's a big problem because Draymond, even though he's not very good offensively, shooting wise anyways, him and Curry have this connection where they just know how to work with each other on the court. And that's so, and with Draymond out there, that's when Curry can really be moving around and weaving throughout players and getting to his spots on the court. So that's a big problem. But, you know, Boston in the last 5 minutes, like I said, they had 3 points. They were 1 of 8 from the field, 1 of 7 from three. So, you know, the Warriors, I think that they're fine defensively, but like I said, it's just that offense. They need to find some way to fuel it. Now, if you were Steve Kerr, would you consider maybe throwing in Jonathan Kuminga or Moses Moody, or would you stick with these guys that he's been going with?
Yeah, I that was a thought I had early in the series. You give those guys a look, but in game five of the NBA finals, given 18-year-old rookie an opportunity in key moments, I think it's too late. I think if Steve Kerr was going to make that adjustment and make that wrinkle in the game plan and then give those guys a look, I think he should have done it early on in this series. And if you look at it now, I think it's just too late and high stakes. Like you said, 80% go on to win the finals or something to that measure percentage wise. And it's just too key, even a possession here or there. And I expect game five to be a close game. I don't expect it to be a blowout by any means for either team. Warriors are +3 favorites at home, but that's usually they give the advantage to the home team. But I think they do historically play well, better at home. Role players always play better at home and shoot. But to Boston's credit, they have played better on the road too. They've historically dropped throughout this playoff run, they've dropped a game at home and haven't been as good at home. And the Warriors, I believe, are at 27 straight wins on the road in a series, 27 straight series, which is an unbelievable record and streak to keep alive, which they did last night. But to the Warriors' credit, and you mentioned their defense has struggled, they held this high-powered Boston offense to 97 points, which is a win on the road. And then in the last 5 minutes of that game, that's where they buckled down. And we saw Kerr go to that offense-defense situation with Poole and getting going back and forth and getting him in the game. And they held the Celtics in the last 5 minutes to 3 points, 1 from 8 from the field and 1 through 7, and outscored them 17-3 in those last 5 minutes, was just huge. And then you think about closing and why I was, you said if you're a Warrior fan, you wouldn't be, you would be kind of nervous. And to me, I wasn't, because number one, in the first quarter, when Steph hit one shot in particular and he ran back onto in front of Boston's bench and was talking to the crowd. I don't know if he was talking to a family member or Dell or whoever, maybe a fan. And he gave that look. He said, like, I'm here. I don't know what he said. I couldn't read it out. But I said, this is a dude who's not letting his team win. It doesn't matter if they're down 5, 10, 15. He's not letting them lose tonight. He's here to prove. He's here to get his finals MVP. He's here to cement his legacy, which I thought was already cemented. But last night was the little nail in the coffin, you know what I mean? And I'll die on that hill of he's a top 10 player already, but last night solidified it for me, if anything, or even top 5, to be honest. But I just think my point isn't saying that in the closing time, Boston has no closer close, in my opinion, to Stephen Curry. Jason Tatum, inconsistent. Jaylen Brown, inconsistent. And let's be honest about game one and that closing on the road. If it weren't for Derek White and Al Horford, and Marcus Smart, they were huge. It wasn't, let's be honest, it wasn't Tatum really making those plays. It was Brown a little bit in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and then it was Derek White. Pritchard hit a huge three, and then Al Horford were the closers realistically in that game. We haven't really seen a closing game from Tatum. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and actually something that's interesting, I think that the Warriors, as long as they at least keep it close towards the end, because Boston actually, okay, these are their numbers in the clutch since the Brooklyn series. A 3-5 record. Okay, so this is when the last 5 minutes, so they have a 3-5 record. So in the last 5 minutes, they've lost most of the games. Since the Brooklyn series, down in the clutch, they're shooting just 24.2% from the field. They're shooting 21.4% from three. They had 5 assists, 7 turnovers, and a -22 plus minus. So, you know, Boston is not doing well down the stretch. So I think as long as the Warriors are able to keep it at least close in the next game, as long as they're able to keep it close, I think that they have a really good chance. And, you know, that's when Curry steps up. That's his moment to shine. So I think that Golden State is in a really good position here, obviously after winning this game, tying the series, but now going to Golden State, their guys have confidence, like I said, in Clay. Jordan Poole finally was able to make shots. I think Draymond Green is going to feel a lot more comfortable back at home, because clearly he wasn't himself in Boston. So I think with that all coming together in Golden State, I think that the Warriors are in a good spot to take game five. But also, I need to see from Golden State, I would like to see more pressure, more full court pressure, because something that we talked about when we were previewing this final series, we talked about how Boston, they don't have many ball handlers. And when I say ball handlers, I mean guys that can keep the ball and dribble it confidently. Mm-hmm. They can drive through guys where they're not going to turn it over. That's something that Boston doesn't have. I mean, I guess their best guy would maybe be Derek White, Marcus Smart, and Jason Tatum along those lines. But really, they're not even that great at ball handling. So I think that the Warriors really just need to put a lot of pressure, a lot of full court pressure, kind of like we saw, I'm forgetting his name, from New Orleans.
Alvarado. Oh, from Jose Alvarado.
Alvarado, mm-hmm. kind of like what we saw from him, what he mm-hmm. was doing to Chris Paul, where he was just covering him full court. Yeah. I think that that's something that the Warriors should implement, because that's going to make Boston nervous. And when Boston is nervous, we've seen countless times that they are not very good at holding onto the ball. They turn it over a lot. So I think that that's something that Golden State should really do. Now, from your standpoint as a Warriors fan, is there anything that you see that you would want Steve Kerr to do? Or is there anything that comes to mind to you that would help the Warriors kind of take an advantage over Boston here in game five? Is there anything that jumps out to you? Or
number one, I think that last night, let's give credit where it's due. I think he incredible coaching job at the end there, you know, to do that offense defense switch with Draymond. That's a gutsy ballsy move to pull off there. And you maybe look back at it, and if they lose, you know, you're kind of like, should they have kept Draymond in the game offensively? And I think you die on that hill of saying that he hasn't been producing offensively. He's honestly a liability on that end, because the defense just isn't guarding him, forcing him to take threes. And honestly, he was almost unplayable in the first half there on the offensive end, you know, missing bunnies, for the crowd getting into his head, getting knocked over, that was in game three where he got knocked over and they took the ball. Or was that last night when Marcus Smart had the easy layup and knocked him over? That was last night, right?
Yeah.
And just plays like that. And as a Warrior fan, but I think in game three, in game five, they just got to continue to have that ball movement and have that constant off the ball movement, because I think Boston, having them run around and cover multiple of those reads and get into those offense. And then you still allow Steph, Jordan Poole to operate the pick and roll and force guys to either drop or make the decision to, if Boston wants to step up, you get by them and then get open shots, because you have the shooters to do it, especially with that lineup that we talked about of Poole, Curry, Klay Thompson, Wiggins, and Looney. And I think you go to that and you tell the guys, Wiggins, who was huge, had 15 rebounds last night, career high. That was huge for the Warriors. And that, let's talk about that too. The reason that they were able to win, they out-rebounded the Celtics by 13 or 14, I believe, in that game. Let's get the number correct. But having that and be able to get second chance points and second chance opportunities was huge, because we saw the jump in minutes, number one. And I'll say, to answer your question in short and this line, I'll say that play more Kevon Looney minutes. And maybe even less Draymond, or probably less Draymond, because Kevon Looney, plus 21 last night. And I feel like that doesn't even tell the whole story of how instrumental he was.
He's been incredible all playoffs long.
He's been incredible, man. Him and Andrew Wiggins, the Warriors got to pay those dudes, because I just think what they bring to this team can't be replicated, honestly. And their belief in the system is just no one's going to be able to replace that, is what I'm trying to say. But more Kevon Looney minutes, more of that lineup where you have, and then less Draymond, honestly, if he's not going to be up to, you see it early on, but then make that adjustment early on. If he's not giving you anything offensively and he's being a liability defensively, you make the adjustment and you try to outscore the Celtics.
Yeah, because defensively, even Draymond has not been good.
No,
he has not been good at all. Draymond has just been really interesting to kind of break down, just because he's already a really unconventional player. But looking at his stats and everything here in this series, it's really difficult to figure out what's going on. But yeah, you said that about Looney. I can't believe it. I cannot begin to tell you what I would do to have Kevon Looney on the Mavs. But yeah, I mean, really, let's see here. So Curry's been great. Here in the finals, he's averaging 34 points, 6.3 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 2 steals, 50% from the field, 49% from three. So he's been fantastic. So he just needs to be, he needs to keep doing that. But you touched on something that I 100% agree with. There needs to be more Kevon Looney and less Draymond, because Draymond, he's just not doing it right now. He had a better game last game. He had 2 points, which he's never a big point guy, but he had 2 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 4 steals. That was more Draymond. So, like I said, I'm sure back home in Golden State, he's going to be a lot more of the Draymond that we know. But Kevon Looney has been fantastic. He had 6 points, 11 rebounds, 3 of 4 from the field. Like you said, he was a plus 21 on the plus minus side. So yeah, I mean, Kevon Looney, and you know, he can do a lot of pick and roll stuff with Curry. He gets them a whole lot of offensive rebounds, so he's also getting them second chance points. You know, I just think that Looney has clearly been way better than Draymond, and I think that if you look at it, really, when Looney's out there and Draymond isn't, the Warriors have been a lot more, they've had a better flow. Their offenses look better. And like I said, they're getting more second chance points because of Looney getting those rebounds. And then with Wiggins getting those 16 rebounds last night, rebounds has been a huge factor. So, you know, I think that that is something that they should do. Now, looking at last night, so last night, the rebound battle was won by Golden State, surprisingly, because Boston has a bunch of huge guys. But, you know, Golden State last night had 54 total rebounds. Boston had 42. And Golden State has 16 offensive rebounds, while Boston had 11. And I just wanted to point out those offensive rebounds again, just to back up my point on what I'm saying about Kevon Looney. He has been just absolutely fantastic. He's kind of been kind of the perfect model for consistency on Golden State. He has just been great. So I just think that that's something that Golden State needs to do. They really just need to implement more Looney, less Draymond, like you said, maybe take a look at Draymond in the first quarter, see how he's doing. And if he's doing well, yeah, keep him out there. If he's not, then maybe pull him back a little bit and throw a little bit more Looney out there. If I was a Golden State fan, I would feel really confident going into game 5. And even Jason Tatum isn't having a great series either. His shooting is not good. He's shooting in the 30s from the field and in the 30s from three. So, you know, he hasn't been great. So I think that they just need to keep doing that. Keep pressuring Jason Tatum. Get those rebounds. And like I said, just really, I think that they should pressure everyone. I'm a big believer in what I've been saying about full court pressure.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point with that. And it's the fact that you talked about the clutch minutes. You talked about the clutch statistics for the Celtics' point of view. And yes, they're a great team. They're more talented, in my opinion, than the Warriors. They have more weapons. They have more wing depth. They have more size. They just have all of those factors going their way. But where I see their limit and where I saw their downfall is they beat themselves. They're a team who you can't rely on. There's a reason that they have the streak of winning all these games after a loss, but that also goes to show you, why can't you bring that consistent? Can we trust the Celtics to bring that consistent effort, do or die mentality every game throughout the series and throughout these playoffs? And the answer has been no. Will that change? I don't know. But if I had to put my cards and money on someone to rely on, especially one of these team has to win two straight games in this series. That's just the way it goes. And I'm putting more faith in the experience, and that we talked about, what was the theme? The reason that we both chose the Warriors to come away with this series is the experience. The Draymond Green, who's been there, Stephen Curry, the best player in the series, who's been there, Klay Thompson, the big three who have been there, and let's not forget Kevon Looney, who wasn't a huge biggest part as he was now, obviously, but he's still been there. He's been to the pinnacle. He knows what it takes to win an NBA championship, and all the time, effort, and how much one possession early in the first quarter can mean in a victory. So I think all those factors, like you said, are a reason to be happy, especially with riding those momentum, knowing you're going back to the Bay if you're the Warriors. But let's talk a little bit about game three, and then about what the Celtics can change, and then we can wrap this thing up here.
Okay.
Right. So game three was a tale of quarters and games and back and forth and blowouts. Yeah. One team controlling the other. And this was an interesting game, because we saw the Celtics with the big lead, a 12-point lead at the end of the first half of game three. And then the Warriors took the lead 1 point, battled all the way back from down 12, and took the lead at 1 point there, 1 point lead in the fourth quarter of the Boston Celtics 116-100 win over the Warriors in game three there, 16-point win. So let's talk about what you saw from the Celtics and why they were so effective offensively, and why really, as we talked about earlier, why the Warriors didn't really have a answer defensively and looked slow, lethargic, and old, to your point.
Yeah. So first off, to start the fourth quarter, Steph Curry, in the first 80 seconds of the fourth quarter, Steph had three turnovers. So that's never good. And then actually for the Warriors, it's all been about the third quarter for them. Mm-hmm. If you look at this after game three, so I'm not counting last night, game four, but through the first three games in the third quarter of this series, the Warriors had outscored the Celtics 106-63. Mm-hmm. So that's big. But then to close out game three, the Warriors only had 11 points in the fourth quarter. So that's just not gonna, that's just not good. Through the first three games, Draymond had as many points as he did fouls. So after three games, he had 15 points and 15 fouls. So that's not going to work. We have talked about the Celtics, how they haven't lost a game after a loss. So they haven't lost back to back. After the game three, they were 7-0 after a loss in the playoffs. But really, Robert Williams was huge in game three. He had 4 blocks, 3 steals, 10 rebounds in 26 minutes. He was a plus 21, plus minus. And then obviously Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they were a fantastic duo in game three. Jason Tatum had 26 points. Jaylen Brown had 27. They both had 9 rebounds. Jason Tatum had 9 assists. Jaylen Brown had 9 rebounds. They both had at least 3 three-pointers made. When the Jays for Boston are playing like that, it's really hard to beat them, because when they're playing like that, it means that they're, in a good flow and they're playing as a team. Marcus Smart also had 24 points. He had 5 assists, 7 rebounds. Really, in I mean, in game three, a lot of guys stepped up. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players in double digits for the Celtics. And then for the Warriors, Curry had 31 points. Klay did have 25. But Jordan Poole had 10 points, not on efficient shooting. And really after that, there wasn't much else. So it just goes back on what we were talking about when we were talking about game four, how finally guys like Klay and Poole stepped up to help Curry, because they just, Golden State just, like I said, they've looked kind of old in Boston. They're just not able to keep up with the athleticism that Boston shows when Boston is on their A game. But we've also seen Boston not be on their A game. And I think that's when the Warriors are playing, obviously, their best defense. But I also noticed that they do put more pressure on them, not full court, but once they're in the half court, they definitely pressure them a lot. But yeah, I mean, game three, it was really all about the Jays for Boston. And really, Robert Williams was huge as well. I mean, he played 26 minutes. And like I said, he had those three blocks and 10 rebounds and a couple steals. So, I mean, Boston, it's really when Boston is so in sync and where they're playing with such a good flow, it's when Boston is obviously at their best. But, you know, when they're in that good flow, Boston, it really hurts Golden State because, you know, Boston, like I said, is really athletic. And they pass the ball around really well. Mm-hmm. They have really good ball movement. Boston does. So whenever that happens, it kind of discombobulates Golden State a little bit. But yeah, I mean, game three, like I said, it was all about the Jays and all about Robert Williams for Boston. Looking at game three, what jumps out at you?
I like you said, and John had talked about it to his credit, about on our last episode about Robert Williams and his ability to change the game. And I also, when we had our preview, I mentioned Robert Williams defensively as the X factor, you know, his ability to change shots and limit the Warriors getting in the paint and protecting the paint and getting, taking away those easy layups that a shooting team like the Warriors on the perimeter, that a defense is going to collapse and close out hard on those shots. And they're going to, it's which you, when you take away the three, you have to give up something, which is going to be easy layups and easy drop off passes when the defense steps up to take away those layups. And Robert Williams in game three was so instrumental and so just a beast and protecting the paint, you know, four blocks in that game, plus 21 throughout in the plus minus category, 10 rebounds, three steals, four for five from the field. And it just feels like his hands were just probably multiple deflections. I'm not sure how many deflections in total he had, but he was everywhere on the floor, changing shots, contesting them. We saw Jordan Poole, who in game three just looked shook. He didn't know when to get his shot off that pick and roll, because when Robert Williams was, yes, he was in the drop coverage, but his length, as we saw, and his ability to change shots, it was huge. And that was the story of game three. His ability to stay on the floor as well and play in those 25 minutes. So effective. And then also in game three from Boston, you know, you mentioned Jay, when the two Jays are balling and they're hooping and they're scoring, Jaylen Brown was extremely efficient, 9 for 16 from the field, 4 for 8 from the 3-point line for 50% and 27 and plus 7 in the plus minus category. But Jason Tatum was only 9 from 23, 39% and 3 for 9 from the 3-point line. But what I talk about, Shaba, was when Jason Tatum's at his best, he's making plays for his teammates. He's getting downhill. He's not being the number one scoring option. Leave that to a true scorer, elite scorer, like Jaylen Brown, because that's what he does. He's a, you know, he can score from every level on the court. But when he's at his best, he's getting assists. He's setting his teammates up, and he had 9 assists for the Celtics in game three. And I thought that was huge. It was a huge reason why a lot of players were able to get going. We saw 1, 2, 3, 4, five players in double figures for the Celtics, which is huge, especially at home. And then Robert Williams was close to it with eight, and then Derek White had added seven. So that kind of production was a reason why the Celtics were able to get 116 against this Warriors defense, because another reason was the penetration was huge and key and instrumental to their success, because the Warriors, their defense was just atrocious. The point of attack and defense, it felt like every time, whether it was on a closeout, on a rotation forced by Boston's penetration and getting by that first defender, forcing multiple passes, which led to a rotation and an open three, and Boston, to their credit, was knocking them down. So that was a huge, huge factor. And then a rebounding, Boston just beat the Warriors up on the glass, and that's hard to win with all those second chance points at home. So those were the big factors to me in game three for Boston's success in that one.
Yeah, you talked about the rebounding difference. Boston had 47 total rebounds. Golden State only had 31. Mm-hmm. And Boston had 15 offensive rebounds. Golden State only six. So, yeah, you can definitely tell the difference. Points in the paint, you can also tell the difference, too. Boston had 52 to 26. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But also something interesting. We talked about Draymond and how he hadn't been very good, at least for the first three games. And game four, he was a little better. But after the first three games, Draymond in the finals, he had as many fouls as he did points. Mm-hmm. He had more technical fouls than he did three-pointers, and he had more turnovers than he did baskets. Mm-hmm. And he was also, after three games, he was only averaging 5 points, seven rebounds, five assists on 26% shooting from the field, 0% shooting from three, and 50% shooting from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. So that's not very good. And then also through the first three games, Marcus Smart was doing a really good job on Steph. In the first three games, while Marcus Smart was guarding Steph Curry, Curry only had 12 points in three games, three assists, four turnovers, 36% from the field, and 33% from three. So obviously Marcus Smart was having a very big impact on Steph Curry. And then also, just, we were talking about the offense for the Warriors and how it's just, it looks really different and just not as good here in the finals. Well, this might give us a little reason reason to see why. So the Warriors' points in the paint, I'm breaking it down by rounds. So the first round, the Warriors were averaging 44.8 points per points in the paint. In the second round, they averaged 48.7 points in the paint. In the conference finals against Dallas, they averaged 49.2 points in the paint. And through the first three games against Boston, they were only averaging 30.7.
Yeah.
So that's a huge, huge difference. And if you're taking as many as 15 points away from the Warriors, I mean, that right there tells you why, you know, their offense just hasn't been as explosive as it had been, because Boston actually defends in the paint. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's obviously something that the Warriors are going to have to figure out, more spacing, more ball movement. And like I said, I think it's great that they're going to have game five here in Golden State, because like I said, they're going in with confidence, or role players are going to shoot better. So I think that Golden State has a really nice chance of going up 3-2 after the first five games. But you can see the first three games were not good for Golden State.
Yeah, no, I agree with that sentiment. I think the Warriors are going to be able to take game five here. And I just think they have the momentum, all the momentum in the world. You know, to Boston's credit, they've played well. And Boston, I think, is going to be kicking themselves after game four. You know, they had a chance to close it out. They had Golden State. They had the Warriors on the ropes there at home. And they just, their offense just faltered. You know, we saw time after time, some bad shots, poor shots by Jason Tatum, some tough shots made by Marcus Smart. And I even saw it to myself in the theme. Boston has been, although they've been generating some good shots, they've also had some tough shots that were going in throughout this series. And you almost wonder, when is that going to change? When are they going to, you know, come back down to earth? When is Derek White going to start playing like Derek White again? You know, when is the averages going to kind of even out? And that may be something we're starting to see here as the series progresses. Also, the fact that let's not forget, they've played two straight 7-game series, and this is going to 5. It's definitely going to 6. So that's another 6. That's what, 14, 20 games they play in a span of what, 2 and 2.5 weeks, potentially 21. And that's a lot of wear and tear. And those shots that they're making early in this series, they may stop falling. So that's also something we got to look out for, and a lot of theme as well. And Golden State might have a little fresher legs going back home and having 2 days off of rest. Maybe let's call it about 1.5 days of rest. But I think that's huge for the legs of a guy like Klay Thompson, Draymond, to get his legs back defensively. Huge. And then Steph as well. You know, we saw his scare in game 3 as well. So I think I'm confident the Warriors are going to be able to pull it out. I think it's going to be battle. I think it's going to be tough, but I think they're going to be able to get 5. And then game 6 in Boston, who knows which way that going. We both predicted to go in 7, so could flip-flop. The Celtics could take game 5, and the Warriors could take game 6 to force it to a game 7. I still think it will go 7, but if the Warriors win game 5, they may be able to close it out in Boston, because Boston hasn't been a great home team throughout this playoffs. But it also is another bounce back game. Are they going to lose 3 straight? If any team's going to take 3 straight off them, I think it's this Warriors team, but I'm not saying the Celtics are going to roll over either. So it's going to be interesting. Jabba, I'm going with the Warriors in 7 still. And I'm thinking their game 5. What's your feel like? What do you think the shift's going to be? You switching up on your pick or?
No, I still have the Warriors. And like I said, if I was a Warriors fan, I'd feel really confident. Mm-hmm. I just think that the Warriors, I just don't see them losing game 5. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but like I said, all the odds are in their favor. You know, just the confidence factor, I think, is huge for Klay, for Poole, even Draymond, you know, just coming back to Golden State, being around his, you know, Warrior fans. I think that he's at least going to play better than he had the last 2 games. But also let me just throw this out, because this is kind of a fun stat. So Jason Tatum, when he's guarded by Bielitsa, Jason Tatum is 0-for-5 from the field and 4 turnovers. So I don't know, maybe the Warriors found something there.
Maybe they found something. Maybe Nemanja Bielitsa is the Jason Tatum stopper. And one fact, and we'll wrap it up with this. Well, I will wrap up my thoughts with this is, This is the best of 3, right? The team that wins 2 games out of these next 3 games will win the series. And last night, I saw a player who's not going to let his team lose, to be honest. It can be completely honest. And it's going to be a matter of who is down to come ride with him, ride out, win this 4th title or not. Ultimately, but if he gets the help of Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole, I just really don't see, as good as the Celtics have been playing, I just don't see them losing, because he's clearly that good where he can will his team with the help of others. And if they lock in defensively, I think 2 of 3, I think it really favors, especially the home court advantage aspect as well, favors the Warriors. But let's not count out the Celtics, man. We've seen them bounce back too, but I just think the Warriors at home understand how important winning and protecting home court now that they won it back in game 5 is. And then you get 2 chances to win 1. So that's a huge factor as well. So, you got anything to add to that, man?
Just basically what I've been saying. You know, I think that, to follow up on what you said, I think Steph is definitely on a mission. He's obviously heard, you know, the talks where, he doesn't step up in the finals, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He's on a mission. Steph is, you know, you could see it last night. You know, he wants to win this. And, you know, like I said, going back home, I think that's a huge boost. And, you know, just having those role players feeling more comfortable at home, I think might be the difference. And, you know, like you said, Boston has not played well at home. So, you know, if the Warriors get this game five, I think that the Warriors are going to be sitting pretty. You know, I think that they're going to have a good chance of getting this in six games. But yeah, the Warriors need to get game five. They I agree. To get it because if they don't, they're going to be in big trouble. I wouldn't count them out if they do lose game five, just because they'd have to go back home. And we already covered Boston not being that great at home, but man, it would be really tough to go up against that Boston crowd when they're only one win away from getting the championship. So
I agree.
So yeah, so Golden State better step up in game five and get it. I hope that, you know, Clay, Poole, I hope that those guys are able to step up because I would like to see Curry get another championship. I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be really cool to see him tie LeBron and see if they're, one of them is able to get another one. But yeah, like I said, Golden State, I think right now is definitely in the driver's seat. The series is tied 2-2, but I think that Warriors have a really good chance of going up 3-2 after game five. And yeah, I mean, I think that guys to look out for the Warriors, I'm definitely going to say Draymond, because it's going to be at home. And then I'm going to say Clay. I'm going to, I feel a big Clay game coming on.
I do as well. I do as well. I think we got a big Clay game coming. And I think, like you said, Draymond is due. He's due for a big game. And we know it's not always in the stat sheets, but I think defensively he's going to be locked in from the jump. He's a guy who feeds off the emotion and of the home crowd as well. And that's a huge factor too. So I think the Warriors know what I think the importance they have struggled with starts. Game four was probably their best start they have of the series besides game one. You know, we saw Steph the drop coverage and that, but I thought game four from the standpoint of Boston made their run, but they were able to weather the storm a bit, especially on the road, keep themselves in the game, and then were able to close and play really well in the second quarter as well. So I think all of those factors and riding those momentums, but they know number one in game five at home, the importance of a good start. And I think the Warriors are going to come out motivated and ready to play in game five. And that's going to ultimately carry through with the rest of the game if they're able to take game five at home.
Yep. Yes, so let's see what happens, man. It's going to be a fun one, and I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think this is going to be one of the
classic,
maybe the most clutch game. I think it's really going to come down to the wire, and I think that we're going to really see who the superstars are at the end of that game. I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a great game.
I do as well. I think both teams understand the magnitude of it, but like we said, I think one team understands it more. And then also you can understand the moment. You can understand the moment and be in the moment, but another thing is executing in the moment.
Yep.
And there's one team that both of us trust more than the other, but who knows, Boston could ramp it up and understand the importance and execute. But to this point, they haven't done that. Like you said, numbers don't lie in clutch. So it's hard to bet on that, especially on the road here in game five. So we'll see what happens. Either way, going to be exciting game. Game five of the NBA Finals coming up. Shaba, as usual, great to have you on episode. If all of our listeners, family hasn't had time to check out Shaba, he's got a great podcast over there at Big Shot Pod. Give him a follow at Big Shot Pod, if I believe right. That's the tag on Twitter. He's always talking ball on there. Good content, man. So keep up with our guy, give him a follow. And then as usual for us, y'all, give us a like, comment, subscribe on this YouTube video. It always keeps us going, man. Allows us to do what we do. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Clutch Talk Pod. Get at us, debate us, ask us questions, man. We always down to talk ball and talk hoops, man. But that's all I got, man. Shaba, you got anything else to add, man?
Nope, that's it. Yeah, if your listeners, if they could just go listen to the Big Shot Pod, I'm on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I'm pretty much on every platform. But yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for letting me come on. And hopefully we talk soon once the finals are over. Hopefully we can recap all together with everyone, with Junior and John and everyone. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely do that. And yeah, let's see what happens. The next time I think we'll be on is after following game six, whether that's someone winning the championship or we're talking about game seven, we'll be back with game six. So all right, y'all. We out of here, y'all. Peace. Bye.
All right, guys. So that is today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, I just want to give a special thank you to Jay Hill over at Clutch Talk. And guys, please go listen to Clutch Talk. They are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. They're on YouTube, Google Podcasts. They're on all those good platforms. And also, like I said earlier in the episode, Clutch Talk, they do a whole bunch of cool stuff over on YouTube. Like I said, you know, they go over stuff going on in the playoffs. They go over trades, injuries, all that good stuff. They have interviews with former professional players. So they have a whole bunch of really cool content over there. So go check them out. They are Clutch Talk. You can find them again on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those good platforms. Also, I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening. If you are coming over from our Twitter page, which is at the Big Shot Pod, or if you're coming from our Facebook page, NBA All Day, I just want to say thank you all again. And if you guys haven't yet, we have a Facebook page. And so, yeah, go give us a like. It's called NBA All Day. It's not called the Big Shot Pod. It's called NBA All Day. That's because I made this this NBA page a long time ago. And I finally just picked back up on it a little less than a year ago. So, yeah, again, NBA All Day. That's on Facebook, our profile picture. It says NBA All Day, and it's orange. So you can spot that pretty easily. We have almost 30,000 subscribers. So special thank you to everyone who subscribed. So yeah, go give us a follow on Facebook at NBA All Day. Give us a follow on Twitter, which our handle on Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please send us a message, get our attention, however you can, whether that's on Facebook or on Twitter, do whatever you can to get our attention and we will answer whatever question, comment, and concern you have. We will answer that on the next episode. And of course we will give you a shout out if you do. But yeah, that is it for today's episode. Again, I want to say thank you all who listen. Thank you to Clutch Talk, Jay Hill. You were awesome today. And yeah, so thank you for listening, guys. Once again, I am your host, Shabba Baja, and thank you for listening to the Big Shot Pod. Have a good one.